recognizing experience as conditioned, recognizing how our mind states, mental activities shape our experience is a place that we begin to touch into the perception of not self. This conditioning and conditioned nature of experience, process nature of experience, the teaching of dependent co-arising is an expression of this perception of not self, that this is just a process tumbling on, and the creation of the sense of self is a part of that tumbling. And in particular, seeing this shaping quality, the way our mental activities shape the rest of our experience, is a kind of, in a way, it's a place that we can see the shaping very directly. A mental activity of the arising of frustration affects the body, affects the mind in certain ways, affects certain intentions coming to be, affects the shaping of tension or tightness in the body, the arising of love, another mental activity, affects the shaping of our experience, affects how we perceive, how we relate, our intentions, our actions. So this continual kind of shaping, not an I choosing to shape the experience, but the mental activity shaping experience. These job descriptions we talked about some days ago, the job description of love, the job description of frustration or anger, these mental activities doing their job, doing their work. Seeing that it is just anger shaping or love shaping helps the mind to see this perception of not self. Someone left a question about this chain of dependent origination, in particular in regard to the early links of the chain. Saying that these first few, in particular, mental formations, condition consciousness, condition, basically body and mind condition, the psychophysical being, that they seemed abstract, and wondered how we might be able to tie that into a direct experience. And so the words in that part of the cycle are the broadest words for our experience. Mental formations. I was just using the phrase mental activities. Mental formations shape condition. What consciousness meets, and then how the psychophysical being responds. Just what I described. just a moment ago. So very directly, with the arising of any mental activity, we can see how this mental activity shapes our consciousness and our body and mind processes. I was reflecting on why perhaps the Buddha chose to use such vague, not really vague, but more encompassing, that's probably the right word, encompassing terms at the head of the chain. Because he moves into very specific terms later. Feeling conditions, craving conditions, clinging. Craving, clinging, becoming, birth. Those are all mental formations, mental activities. And so in that part of the chain, he highlighted some specific mental activities to attend to. And I was just reflecting on why might he have used the more encompassing terms early in the chain. Perhaps it's because, or that it's a reflection of the broader forces that shape each of us as individuals. Our social conditioning, our familial conditioning, our cultural conditioning, our human conditioning, those ignorance misperceptions at the very head of the chain, those misperceptions landing in different embodiments, different cultural contexts. And so, to me, in a way, it points to this part of the chain is acknowledging like this vast realm of humanness, the differences in which we all are have been shaped. Our own cultural meetings with these perceptions of misperceptions of things taken to be permanent, reliable, controllable self. Those shape us in so many different ways. And so those first few links of the chain may be more speaking just to the breadth of human experience. And then the Buddha pointing to, and in a moment, that breadth of human experience comes into a feeling of pleasant, unpleasant, responded to with this very fundamental liking, not liking, wanting, craving. And that all leading back into the broader forces that shape our lives. Now, this does not spoken to directly in the teaching on dependent origination so much, but the commentaries do speak of these first few links as being kind of the conditioning that we come into this life with. So that maybe speaks to our embodiment, what we're born, how we're born, but in the commentaries it also speaks to conditioning from prior lives. We could say, too, that conditioning speaks to all the conditioning we've had up to this very moment. Individually, we've each had such different conditioning. And so, we could look at these three links, mental formations, condition, consciousness, condition, psychophysical being, and another description of those two, consciousness and psychophysical being, is the five aggregates. Consciousness, form, feeling, perception, and mental formations. So mental formations shape the aggregates, including mental formations, which then reshapes the aggregates. So we can look at these two links as being in kind of a very precise summary of the entirety of the conditioning process, right there in just those two. And then the Buddha chose to highlight some specific mental formations as being really crucial in the creation of dukkha. And so curiosity, again, letting go of all the concepts around dependent origination, it can come back to just really simple. How is the mind being shaped? What is this mental activity and how is it affecting the body and mind? Right there, that question, we could just put it that way. It's like, how is this state of confusion affecting the body and mind? That's the investigation of the chain of dependent origination. We don't need to think about all the links so much, just how is the shaping happening in that connecting to an understanding of the perception of not self?